standing this morning for the reading of the Word of God, okay? Just remain standing for a few minutes there, and we'll get right into the text this morning and bring the thought God's laid upon our heart for today. Any good to be saved this morning? Thank God. Good to be in the Lord's house. I'd rather be here than I would be in jail with you. Thank God. I'd rather be here than I would be in hell this morning. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, we serve a great God. And we serve a God that loves us and one who is able. Amen. He is able. There's no doubt about that. To do exceeding abundantly above anything that we might ever ask or think. And that is according to the power that worketh in us. And there's a great power. The dynamite, the dynamo of the gospel is working on the inside of every child of God. Brother Steve told me this made a noise. This has been the troublemaker all along. Can you imagine something that small would be the troublemaker? I'm talking about a ballpoint pen. Would be the troublemaker of the sound that's going out over there. Just something that little. But when you put it in your pocket, and this sounds like me pecking on it to you, but out in radio land, it probably sounds like a mountain slide. And so we'll put that ink pen in our pocket today, and I'll probably fall down and ram it through my leg. And then we'll all have a good laugh out of that and go to the house. Amen. All right. Let's look in our Bibles this morning in the book of Exodus one more time, if you would, please, in chapter number 4. Exodus and chapter number 4. And Lord willing, in tonight's service, we will venture into chapter number 5. I intended to do that this morning, but got changed around a little bit. And I'm on a thought this morning that's not, I don't know whether I've got it all together or not. I'm going to go ahead with it and do what I got and see how it goes. All right. We're going to begin reading in verse number 19 of Exodus chapter number 4. We've been there a number of times. And the Bible said, "And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine heart, in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, that let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass, by the way in the inn, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son, and cast it at his feet, and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now, I want to put off reading right there this morning. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer here in the morning hour. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the preaching hour time, the songs we've sang, the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you, Lord, for the people of God that have gathered here today. I rejoice in them and what you've done for them in their lives. It does bring great happiness to my soul to see the work of the Spirit of God and what you've done and what you are doing in the hearts and lives of the people of God. And I pray that you would further our cause today. Further our growth and knowledge of you, open up our understanding to thy word, and may we receive it into our hearts, and may it be a blessing and a joy to us. We do pray, Lord, for the salvation of sinners this morning, and for the reviving of the people of God, and help everything that is said and done, Lord, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I need your divine help and power, and I want to magnify your name today. You've got a name that is above every name, and I want to thank you for the name of Jesus, how it thrills my soul. Give us grace and power and unction this morning. Bless your people now, and we'll thank you for all that is done. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, as our text verse this morning really is found in verse number 25. The Bible said there, "Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, 'Surely a bloody husband art thou to me.'" Now, I don't intend to deal this morning in particular with the circumcision of Moses' son. But I do want to deal with this verse and a thought that I find in it. And before I get to that thought, I want to say a couple of things about Moses. You know, in studying his life and trying my best these last several weeks to preach to you on his life and how God dealt with him in Egypt and how God dealt with him in the land of Midian, there's one thing that I've learned about him. And that is, he certainly was by far from being a perfect man. We find that Moses was a man that had fear. He feared in Egypt the first time and departed. He left the Pharaoh and went into the land of Midian because of fear. And there in the land of Midian, when God came to him, he began to make excuses and reasons why I ought not to serve God and go back into the land of Egypt and deliver God's people. He made every excuse in the world why I ought not to do that. And tried his best to get out of the will of God. But God continued to strive and labor with him by grace until he finally gave in to the word of God and went back into the land of Egypt. Now, like I said, he wasn't a perfect man. But there's one thing for sure. Moses was a mighty man of God. I find many faults in his life, and I find many faults in our life. But one thing else I find is that God still used him. God blessed him and God helped him. As far as I'm concerned, Moses is probably, out of all the figures in the Bible, outside of Christ, is probably the greatest figure that I know, the greatest character that I know in the Word of God. The Bible said, the Lord said that he would speak to Moses face to face, and that he did. He received the law of God and gave it to the people of God. And spent many days alone with God upon that mountain. And so Moses was a mighty man of God, but Moses was not a perfect man. And in our text here this morning, we find him and his family departing from the land of Midian. And they're on their way back into Egypt. Now, I'm not certain if they're in Egypt or if they're on their way in verse 25. But they come to an end. The Bible said that they came to an inn to spend the night. And while they were there, the Bible said that the Lord sought to kill him. Now, that's always amazed me why the Lord really sought to kill Moses. What had Moses done here that was so terrible that the Lord really sought to kill him? Now, and you got to understand the word sought, and I didn't really study it out. But God wouldn't have had any problem of killing Moses had he wanted to really kill him. All he would have had to done was just said the word and Moses would have dropped dead. But the Bible said that he sought to kill him. And the reason he did was that he had not circumcised his son. Now, I want to say this to you. Because in the text that I read, the Bible said that Moses took his wife and his sons. So he left Midian with both of his boys. But in the end, there's only one of them that the Bible talks about being circumcised. So apparently, he had already circumcised the other boy, but had failed to circumcise his other son. And the Lord sought to kill him. But Zipporah took a knife, circumcised the boy, and the Lord let Moses go. Now, here's a thought that I want to bring to you this morning, is the forgetfulness of Moses. How forgetful you and I really are in our Christian life. There's things that we ought to remember that many times we forget. And like I said in my little article this morning, when we get to our golden years, we really begin to forget. But to forget spiritual things can be very dangerous in our lives. We ought to take heed to those things that have been spoken unto us. We ought to take heed to what we've heard from the Word of God. For we shall be judged according to those things that we have heard from the Word of God. And we ought to remember them. We ought to keep them in our mind. We ought to hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. But when we come to these verses, Moses here had forgotten, and that's what I'm preaching on, the forgetfulness of Moses. Moses had forgotten to circumcise his own son, and that circumcision was a covenant blessing that God made, or God had given to Abraham and to his seed. It was a sign that they were the seed of Abraham. And because of being the seed of Abraham, they were under the blessings of the covenant of God's grace through him. And now, without circumcision, an Israelite was cut off from the nation, from his nation. And so without that boy being circumcised, he was literally had been cut off from the nation of Israel. Now, you would think that Moses, being the man of God that he was, that he would have remembered long ago to circumcise that boy. In fact, they were to be circumcised after 8 days. But he had failed to circumcise that boy. And you'd think that he had thought of that a long time ago. But here it is now on his journey into Egypt, and he's going down to deliver a covenant people of God, and yet he's carrying his own child with him that has never been circumcised and is actually literally cut off from the nation of Israel. And he's forgotten to do that. And God comes upon him, and the Bible said he sought to kill him. Now, I want to say this. That seems like a little thing. That seems like a small thing. Why, just circumcising a boy, that seems like a small thing. But I'm going to tell you, it was not such a small thing with God. It was significant enough in the mind of God that God literally sought to kill Moses because he had failed to obey the word of the Lord that God had given him. I want to say to you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen. We better beware of the little things. I'm going to tell you, I'm afraid many times that we're always focused on the big things and trying to take care of the big things. But if we're not careful, it'll be the little things that will deprive us of the blessings of God. Does not the Bible say that it is the small foxes that spoil the vines? Now, I'm telling you, it's them little things in life that if we're not careful, we'll overlook them and we'll lose the blessing of God, or we'll cause the judgment of God to come upon us like it did here in the life of Moses for failing to remember that. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
Now, Moses was obedient. Moses' obedience to God and his reverence to his law was one of his first and most important qualifications needed for his work. Now, I want to say, bear right with me, I want to say, circumcision was not given under the law. It was given prior to the law. And the law had not yet been given here, but it was going to be given to Moses. Now, here is a man that is going to receive the law of God. Here is a man that is going to teach the law of God to the nation of Israel. And yet he has failed to be obedient to the very foundational truth of the covenant of circumcision. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is important that every man of God must obey the Word of God. He must bear the first fruits of the Word of God if he's ever going to teach that Word to other people. And I want to say to all of us men of God that are in here, are you listening to me? We're not going to get very far teaching the Word of God to somebody else if we're not obedient to the Word of God ourselves. I'm telling you, it wouldn't do me a bit of good to get up here this morning and try to preach to you on how to live a holy and a consecrated and a dedicated life for God if I'm not willing to live that way myself. I'd be a fool to preach against drunkenness and go out and get drunk. I'd be a fool to preach against whoremongering and then go out and whoremong. I'd be a fool to preach against going to the dance halls, amen, the beer joints, then go out and do it myself. I'd be a fool to preach against cursing and then stand and do it myself, or tell dirty jokes and do it myself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that's exactly what I'm trying to make the point with Moses is, that he forgot the very foundational truth of circumcision, which made a Jew a covenant relationship with the Lord. And so, hey, he had to learn the law before he was able to teach that law. Now, stay right with me. No man is qualified to lead others until he himself has learned obedience to higher authority. Moses is going down to lead a nation from their bondage and forgets the very foundation sign of Israel's covenant relationship with Jehovah. He forgot, hey, we're not going anywhere. Come on, men. You people that's in here ought to help me this morning. Us men that are preachers are not going very far until we have learned to obey the Word of God. I want to say, even as a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, obedience is where the rubber meets the road. God will take obedience over sacrifice any time. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's exactly right. And it was, hey, our Lord learned obedience by the sufferings that He went through. Now, I'm telling you, there's not many people today that are willing to walk through the footsteps of the Lord and learn to be obedient to that Bible by the things which we suffer. I'm going to tell you, if we really live by that book, we're going to have to deprive ourselves of some things. Come on in the house. We're going to have to deprive our own life of some things if we live obedient to that Bible. And it's not going to do us a bit of good to try to walk, to try to talk the talk, unless we're willing to walk the walk of what that Bible has got to say. Amen. It wouldn't have done Moses a bit of good to go to Egypt to try to deliver Israel unless he was first obedient to the very first command that God had given him, and that was to circumcise that boy of his. Amen. That's right. And it seemed like a little thing. Just a small thing, but I'm going to tell you it wasn't a small thing in the eyes of God. He may have thought that this was just a small and insignificant thing with God. But ladies and gentlemen, but the man of God must have it impressed upon his heart that nothing is little that God has thought it important enough to command. And circumcision was a command from God. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't a little thing with God. It seemed to be a very insignificant. I mean, just cutting the foreskin of that child. It didn't take long to do that. And I'm sure when Moses left, this thing just flew right out of his mind. And I want, come on now. I'm going to get to something in a minute. I wonder how many of you and I in here this morning just seem to live our life and really forget the little end things that we look so insignificant to us, but they're not little things with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you, we forget sometimes those things that bring the greatest blessing in our life, and it's not the biggest things that we do. Many times it's the smaller things that we do. Stay right with me now. I want to share something with you. Listen very carefully. One of the greatest dangers that you and I are exposed to in times of testing is thinking that the matter in question is one of no great importance. Now I'm going to get to some applications. What do we come to the house of God this morning? And we're sitting in here in a worship service, and we're expecting God to come down and bless our hearts. We're expecting God to give us light and hope and joy and peace in our heart. And God suddenly moves upon your heart to give maybe a small testimony. That don't sound like much. Well, we can get through the church service without me testifying, Lord. I don't have to stand up and say that. I mean, we can make it through our service without saying that. But I'm telling you, if the Lord commands us to do that, it's not a small thing. I'm telling you, sometimes just withholding just a testimony from somebody in the house of God can stay the hand of God and God's blessings over the church service. What I'm saying is it cramps the house of God. It grieves the Spirit of God. It quenches the Spirit of God. There's no movement of God and there's no blessing from God in our life. And all it takes sometimes is just a little testimony. Doesn't sound like it's not much. Well, I just stand up and thank God for saving me. Well, everybody knows I'm thankful for being saved. Everybody knows that, do they? Have you told them lately in the house of God? Have you testified to that lately in the house of God? What little small thing has God told you to do in the church that you haven't done that may have withheld the blessings of God from us? And I'm going to tell you something. Somebody said, now, preacher, that's a small thing. Is it? The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm going to tell you, if God has commanded it, and He has, then it's not a small thing. It's a big thing with God. God, hey, wants us to testify. God, hey, your testimony of being delivered from sin and Satan is an encouragement to other people. I used to love to hear Brother Jerome talk about being brought up 365 feet down. We used to always get make us happy when we heard that. Don't seem like it makes us happy anymore. We've gotten kind of used to it. It's kind of common stuff. But it's not common with God. It's never lost its importance. Oh, it's not important anymore. It's still important with God. And your testimony is important with God. When was the last time you stood up in church and told somebody and told the house of God how it was the day or the night that you got saved by the marvelous grace of God? I'm simply telling you the little things. We're forgetful of the little things in the house of God so many times. What if you came in and you're sitting in your chair, and what if somebody walks by you, and that somebody that walks by you, the Holy Ghost says, won't you just reach out and shake their hand? And you don't do it. Somebody said, Brother Hall, we can get through a church service without me shaking somebody's hand. Oh, sure. We'll get through it. But I'm telling you right now, we won't get through it with God on us if we don't obey what the Lord has told us. Somebody said, well, I don't have to do that. It's not in the Bible. Well, I don't want us to get too mushy mouth about this. But the Bible does say we ought to greet the brethren with a holy kiss. I believe that's a stiff handshake in our day. When was the last time you greeted the brethren with a good stiff handshake? When was the last time you greeted the ladies, you ladies, with a little hug or a little pat or a little handshake? Somebody said, Brother Hall, that's not a big thing. That's the very point that I'm making. That it may not be a big thing with you and I, but I'm telling you it is a big thing with God. When God says in that Bible to greet the brethren with a holy kiss, that's exactly what God means. What about that little thing, just pray without ceasing? Now, Brother Hall, nobody can do that. Well, the Bible says so. And somebody said, well, you know, nobody can get in a room and stay there forever and pray. Well, I'm going to say, it's not always the length of the prayer. We've gotten the idea in our day that praying has got to be words that are beyond our vocabulary if they're going to get a hold of God. Most people feel like the words that we pray have to be beyond our understanding and our vocabulary. They've got to be words. It's like trying to read some of these books you read. They're saying words in them and you've read through it and you don't even know what they're talking about. I don't have them because I don't know what the words are. But people think that a prayer has got to be a great outward flow of words that we don't really understand. Oh no, it doesn't have to be that way. Friend, I'm telling you, if God was to lay it on our heart to pray and stand up and say no more than, Lord, bless us today. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? And we fail to do that. Oh, Brother Hall, that's just a little thing. It don't mean anything. It means something to God because God said, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Are you getting a hold of what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
God told Moses probably years ago, circumcise that boy, and he failed to do it. And when he got in that inn, he reminded him, you are not fit to go down there and deliver a nation that has been circumcised and your own son has not been circumcised. You can't do that. And look here. And the Bible said that Zipporah circumcised that boy and then he let him go. Who do you think let him go? Thank God had a hold of him. Now, that shows me something. Now, come on now, help me out. That shows me something. It says, then he let him go. What if we're in the house of God and God has laid it on our hand to just give a little testimony or say a little prayer or shake somebody's hand and we hadn't done it? I'm going to tell you what that does to you. That binds you just like it did Moses. God held on to Moses. The Bible said, then he let him go. Well, if he had to let him go, that tells me he had a hold of it. Now, I'm going to tell you sometime, ladies and gentlemen, we come to the house of God with little things and fail to do little things. And it will bind our hearts and grieve the Holy Ghost within us till we cannot worship God. Now, I'm telling you, we've been commanded to worship. So I said, well, we can take it or leave it, can we? He said he seeketh us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, we can come to church and listen to somebody preaching. That's all there are to it, isn't it? When God said that we are to worship Him in spirit, is that all there is to it?
Amen.
I don't believe that's all there is to it. When the Lord said in everything, give thanks. When was the last time somebody stood up and thanked God for something in your life? Come on now. Just a little thing. Why don't I thank God for this and that? I've heard people get up in here before and thank God for little bitty old things. It didn't sound like nothing, but to them it was a great mountain. One of the greatest blessings in their life. And I said amen with them. Because if it was a blessing to them, I wanted to rejoice with them over it. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, in everything give thanks. The Bible said, praise ye the Lord. Let everything have breath, praise ye the Lord. Now, Brother Hall, we can take that or leave that, can we? I said it's a command. God had commanded circumcision. God said that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. When was the last time we really praised the Lord? See, I'm just saying some small things here. Don't matter. Hey, what if you come into the house of God and the Lord told you just to smile at somebody. Oh, Brother Hall, a smile, that don't mean nothing, don't it? Do you think we're supposed to look at them like I'm looking at you with a poker face? Everybody says, even Brother Gray says I got a poker face now. And you're the fault, sitting right back there against the wall.
Amen.
I know you are because he said you was. Now, I don't want to be poker-faced. I like to smile, too. But somebody said, you're being silly. Am I really? I wonder how many times people come into the house of God on Sunday morning and they have been through the meal all week long. The devil's been on their back through their boss at work. Come on now. Things ain't went right. It's with the family. The money? Oh, come on now. You know I'm good to you guys. Hey, amen. That's right. You know I'm good to y'all. Now, see, he's amening now. Buddy, I'm going to tell you what. We'll hold him to that one. We've got him on tape, folks. We've got him. Amen. What if somebody comes into church on Sunday morning and they felt bad all week? They've been fighting off a cold or something. They just hadn't even felt like even reading their Bible or praying much. And you walk by them and God says, why don't you just look over and smile at them? And you say, oh, Lord, you really not telling me that? What if God is telling you that? You just look over and smile at somebody and greet them and say, how you doing this morning? Love you.
Amen.
Praying for you. And give them a big smile. You'd be amazed at what that might do for that person.
Right.
But I can tell you one thing. If God tells you to do it, you don't. I can tell you what it'll do for you. It'll bind you just like God bound Moses. It'll bind you. Somebody said, a little thing like smiling at somebody, I'm telling you, if God commands it, ladies and gentlemen, it makes no difference big or small with God. If God commands it, God means it. And it's our business to obey it. That's exactly what it was with Moses. Now, stay right with me. Stay right with me, okay? He that is faithful in least will also be faithful in much. And if God tells you to smile and you smile, shake a hand, you shake a hand, whisper a prayer, you whisper a prayer, testify, you testify, what little thing you do, and you're faithful in that little thing, God will give you greater things to do. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Amen.
Oh, how much it helps. Just those little things. Now somebody said, well, now Brother Hall, that was a small thing in Moses' life. Yeah, I agree. But do you realize those small things God uses to prepare us for bigger things? Here's a man that it was necessary for him to be obedient to everything God told him. You know why? Because down the road, guess what? God's giving him a little test up here. Are you going to obey what I tell you here and circumcise that? What are you going to do? If you do that, guess what you're going to do? Hey, you're going down the road. You're getting ready to face Pharaoh. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, you realize who Pharaoh is? I don't even want to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you, and I hope God will let me do it. I'm hoping God will let me preach on Pharaoh before we ever get to this portion of Scripture Brother Gray was in this morning. I'm going to preach on following the man to hell. That's exactly what they did. Those men in those chariots, they followed Pharaoh into hell. That's what they done. Now I'm going to tell you, and the Jews followed God out of bondage. Hallelujah. And there's a big difference. I'm telling you that Moses was going to Egypt to face Pharaoh. He was going to do battle with the devil. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, that those little things God tells you to do will enable you to fight the bigger fight of faith when it comes your way. And but if you're saved, it's coming, neighbor. You better believe it is. Oh, little things. He had to face Pharaoh. He's getting ready to face the devil. And if he couldn't even be obedient to some little old, if we can't even testify, how in God's name are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? If we can't shake somebody's hand and tell them we love them, how are we going to fight against the wiles? And that ain't all. The people riled up against Moses. He had all those Jews to contend with, all those Baptists. What about his battle with Korah and Dathan and Abiram? And the earth opened up and swallowed him up alive. I'm just telling you, the little things prepared him for the bigger thing. Didn't seem like much at the time, but oh, I'm telling you, down the road, it looked like a big thing. Woo! Wah! I feel like I could jump over a wall and leap through a troop right now. But yeah, I remember when I took that last pack of cigarettes. Boop! Out the window of that pickup truck they went. Son, I'm telling you, that ain't much. That ain't, yeah, giving up smoking ain't a big deal. Those lost people do that. But I'm going to tell you, when I done it, I thought I'd conquer the world. But I didn't realize that little battle right there was preparing me for the bigger battles down the road. Now I'm going to tell you, I can testify to you this morning that by the grace of our God, I want to shout right now, He led me through them all. Hallelujah. Like Brother Grace did in Sunday school, I've watched Him part the Red Sea a number of times. Hallelujah. And He let this old boy cross on dry ground. Hallelujah to God. And drowned Pharaoh and his chest behind me. Hallelujah. I want to say amen to that. Praise His wonderful name. He's led me all the way. That's right. Through testings and trials and difficult times, He led me all the way. He was getting ready. He was getting ready to face all these other battles in life. Now, it's now been repeated so many times, I want to say it again. That the first battle that is we fight is always with ourselves. And it's usually something very small, just like I said, the little old pack of cigarettes. It wasn't much. But to me, boy, it was a giant step forward. I didn't realize I was getting ready to take three giant steps back. You ever play that game, Mother, may I? Yes, you may. Take three giant steps forward. I always seem to take three giant steps back. I never could gain any ground. That's the way it is in our Christian life. We look at ourselves and we feel like we're not gaining ground. But I'm telling you, are you listening to what I'm saying? The kingdom of God is without observation. Did I say any more about it? You don't get a hold of that, do you? You can't see it much. But I'm going to say there's an all-seeing eye yonder over on the other side of glory. Woo! There's a pair of eyes over on the other side of glory. That's got His eyes on the sparrow and He watches over you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, by the grace of God, He is watching over you and I this morning, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe that's right. Amen. Amen. But, you know, the small things intensifies the danger. Intensifies the danger, for it helps to make us unconscious of the test that God has subjected us to. In other words, if God tells us, stand up and testify, all I want you to do is just stand up and say, well, thank God I'm saved, and we don't do it. That locks our heart up. God binds us. And we fail to do that little thing. We fail to do that little thing. And the danger of that is great. Because we're going to fail to look at those little things and set our eyes on something bigger. Now, I'm going to tell you many times it's a little thing that will trip us up. It's that little bitty thing in our life that deprives us of the blessings of God. I don't think we've got any drunkards in here this morning. I hope we don't. I don't think we've got any whoremongers in here this morning or prostitutes. I don't think we've got any thieves. I don't think we've got anything like that in the house of God. So then there must be some little insignificant things, maybe little things that's even smaller than Moses failing to circumcise his own boy when he's going to deliver a covenant people that's been circumcised. He's not even liking his family to those he's going to deliver. Seems a small thing. I'm going to tell you, them small things can be dangerous. Because it's a little bit of losing your temper. I remember one time I bought an automobile. Yeah. I lost that automobile too. God took it. Because God told me not to buy it, and I did. But that thing had a problem with the window or something in it. And I took it up here to the Chevrolet dealer, Buick dealer. They said, we'll get it fixed. They called me the next day and said, we got it ready. 2 days later, they said, we got it ready. Went up there to pick it up, and they fixed the wrong window. The other window still didn't work. They put it in the wrong side. So they said, we'll have another couple of days. So they called me another couple of days. They said, come up here, and they said, I apologize. I said, we called you and said, the part that we ordered is the wrong part. This went on 3 or 4 times. So finally, they called me. They said, we got it ready, Mr. Hall. You can come and pick it up. And I'll never forget the morning I went up there to get it. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to tell you right now, whether it's ready or whether it's not ready, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Bless God, I'm going to tell them what I think about them. They've had my car up there for 2 weeks and they ain't had it right, and I paid so much money for that car. I said, they're a bunch of duds. They ought to have better business practice than that. And I'm going to let them know how disgusted I am with their service department. Buddy, I walked in up there in that service department, and that fellow was standing behind the desk, and I'm walking this way, and suddenly I hear somebody behind me say, how you doing, brother? And I get ready to, I just open my mouth, and all at once I hear a voice behind me, how you doing, Brother Hall? Oh, Brother House, what's going on? Hey, I'm just up here to pick up my car. These folks have been so good to fix it for me and everything. Hey, God, you know, I really appreciate him getting it ready. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying I was that close to losing it all, boy. I mean, just a little anger out in public sometimes. It don't take a whole lot. I read in the newspaper where the Wildcats coach had them in conference and cursed. Said bad words and they got it taped. They're running it big. How he cursed. One time. Down the drain. Are you listening to what I'm saying? One time. There was a governor from Alabama got up the other day and told a congregation in a Baptist church, he said, the only people that are my brothers and sisters are those that have been saved by the grace of God. And all a bunch of denominations jumped on him. You mean we're not your brothers? We're not your this and that? We're not. And he got up on Wednesday after he said it on Sunday and apologized for saying it. I would apologize. It hadn't let me back on. It let me on Fox News. I'd say, unless you're born again, you're going to hell. I don't care who you are. And unless you're saved by the grace of Jesus. I said again, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. 5 letters, 5 the number of grace, Jesus. Amen. You're not my brother.
Amen.
Now you're a creature with me, but you're not my brother in Christ.
Amen.
Then he went back and apologized for it and made things double worse.
Amen.
Listen carefully. Now, regardless how unimportant it may seem, let us seek to be loyal to God in all things. I had a preacher call me just the other day. He said, Brother Hall, you know Brother so-and-so here in the church? I said, well, sure I do. I told Miss Hall she didn't know who I'm talking about. I said, sure I do. And he said, you ain't going to believe this. He said, he come in here a few weeks ago, and fellas, I'm not fussing. But he said, he come in here a few weeks ago and said, this man's got a boy that's lost. For years he's been lost. All his life been lost. Said this man come in that night, he broke down in tears that morning, wept, the altar filled up, and said he laid on that altar and 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 wept and wept and wept. And said finally he got up and said he looked at the preacher and said, I got to say something. He turned around and looked at people and said, I got to tell you something. I got to confess something. He said, all my life, all it's been speech, 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 speech. All my life, that's all it's been. And said, when I retired, said it was fish, fish, fish. Said that's all it was. And said, I neglected my family. And I've got a boy that's lost and dying and going to hell. And said, I've asked God this morning to forgive. He said this morning, they say, they're not here, but he said, I lay every fishing rod I got on this altar. Said, I'm done with it. And you know something? It wasn't a week later that boy come into church and sneaked in and sat down on the back row. His daddy didn't even know he was there. And he broke down and went to weeping and crying. The invitation was given. This preacher said that boy got up and got to running toward the altar. I'm talking about a grown man working on a job. He's a meat cutter and left the meat cutting place. Told the guy there in the meat cutting place, said, "What do you think about God?" Said that fellow to him, said, "I don't think nothing about God." And he said, "I do." He said, "Tears are running." He said, he took that piece of meat and just threw it down. He said, I got to leave. He said, "You can have this meat right now. I got to go to the house of God." Said he got in the church and sneaked in, sat down on the back pew and said, when the invitation was given, said the old boy got up, tears were running down his face, just running down his face. And said he run in and said, when he hit that altar, he just slid about 10 feet, just slid right into that altar and laid on that altar and said he come up a shouting, praising God for saving him, got saved by the grace of God. Said it wasn't 2 weeks later, a knock on his door. The preacher said, there's a knock on the door one morning. He opened the door. Said, there was that man standing there. And he said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" And he said, "Well, sure." And the boy said, "Hey, man," well, he's not a boy, he's a man, sit down. And the preacher said, "What can I help you with?" He said, "I don't know how you know it. God's calling you to preach." Now, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. A fishing pole. Are you what I'm saying? I'm not saying God ain't told you to lay her down. Don't lay her down. But God told him to lay down a fishing pole. And he laid down a fishing pole and obeyed God, and God blessed him by saving that boy. Yeah. Amen. See, I'm telling you, them little things will just block us. Now, I'm just about to get done. Hang on. I preached longer than I wanted to. No, I didn't. Down the line. Listen carefully now. Now, if a man is chosen for some work of God, let him beware of the test that is soon to follow. And look for something, look not for something great, but observe the common things. Now I want to point out some illustrations to you and I'm done. Some things that seem so insignificant at the time. You know the story of Gideon? How Gideon had 32,000 men and God told him, said, "You got too many men with you, Gideon." Said, "Let those that are fearful go back home." Gideon said, "How many of you are fearful?" So many thousand of them raised up their hand. And God said, Moses said, "You can go on back home." Then he took them up to, said, God said, "Go up and let them drink water. And I'll judge them there." He didn't tell them how to drink water. Some of them got down on their knees like a dog and lapped. And 300 of them brought the water in their hand and lapped. Out of their hand. And it was God told me, Gideon said, "Set that 300 aside." Said, "But that 300 said, we're going to defeat the Midianites." Now somebody said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" When the hook here on those little things, just, hey, God said, "How many is fearful and unbelieving? Let them go back." How many of you are fearful? You know what it takes? Are you listening to me? Honesty. They were just simply being honest. "I'm afraid." God said, "Go on back then." God wants honesty out of us. And if we'll be honest, God, with God, He'll certainly help us. Now that ain't all of it. Now listen very carefully. They went up to drink water. They went up to drink that water. And as they took that water, each man, they went up to drink that water. Some of them got down on their knees. They wasn't told to. Some of them took on their knees and lapped this way. Some of them got down and lapped this way. They weren't told that, but you know what they were doing? They were just simply being themselves. They were simply being themselves. They didn't nobody tell them to do that. They just did it because that was their way. That was their life. But now listen carefully, and I'm going to make a point right here with you. Listen very carefully. Each man did as he liked best. Nobody told him what to do, but unknown to them, God was dividing the self-indulgent from the self-forgetting. Somebody said, "Preacher, what do you mean?" There's so many of them that got down and lapped like a dog. And to them, God was able to look at their heart. They were in self-indulgent. That was, they were trying to please themselves. But at the time, God was separating the self-indulgent from the self-forgetting. In other words, those 300, God said, they have forgotten themselves. They're ready to serve God. Now, come on now. Somebody say amen. I say, we won't be worth a flip of a used booger until we forget ourselves. We'll never be. Hey, what God wants us to be, serving ourselves. God wants us to serve God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Moses never made it serving himself. God, when he circumcised that, when she circumcised that boy, God was telling him, serve me, Moses. Not you, but me. I'm just about done. Stay right with me. What about when the Lord was in the wilderness of temptation? The devil came in. What was the first thing he said? He said, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Now, you know something? You realize how difficult that would have been for the Lord to do? All the Lord had said, stone be bread. And as far as I know, there was none that said that he couldn't have done that if he wanted to. He could have turned them stones into bread very simply. You know why? He had omnipotent power. But he didn't. Some little insignificant, hey, just something minor for the Son of God, like turning a rock into a loaf of bread. But ladies and gentlemen, had he done it, the outcome would have been an outcry from you and I. Because had he obeyed the devil there, rather than obeying the Lord, we would be for eternally doomed and damned into hell, for he would have sinned against God. What are you saying? I'm talking about being obedient to the small things. Somebody said, preacher, was that a small thing? For the Son of God, it was. Sure, it was testing. I realize that he was also man. I understand all that. I'm not ignorant of that. But I'm here to tell you that it'd have been no problem to turn that stone into bread, but he didn't. But if he had out and been disobedient to God, you and I would all been in hell. Just a little thing. And I like this one. When Joshua got to Jericho, and he met the captain of the Lord's host and said, are you with us or are you for us or against us? And he said, neither one. He said, I'm here to take over. And he gave him instructions on how to take Jericho. Now, I'm sure when he went down and told Israel, I want you to march around this city one day for 6 days and don't make a sound. Then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. And when I tell you to shout, shout. Now, I'm sure through the and don't make a sound the whole time. Nothing. Now, I'm sure then people thought, now how silly can this be? Walking around this, how we got to fight. We're going to have to attack these people. We're going to have to bring that wall down. But Joshua said, no, we're going to do what God told us to do. Well, Joshua, how are we going to bring that wall down just walking around it? I don't know. That's what God said to do. All right. It seems silly to me, but here I go. There went the priest with the ram's horns, and there went the people following them. I mean, hey, that's no big. Was it a big thing to walk around that city? Sure wasn't. But I'm going to tell you, on the seventh day after the seventh trip, Joshua said, shout! For the Lord hath given you the city! And when they shouted, guess what? The walls of Jericho fell down. Wasn't a big thing. Walking around wasn't a big thing. But what if they had ignored that and thought it was something too simple to do? And by the way, they got the big head after that, because when they went to Ai, they just sent up a few men and they got kicked. They lost the battle at Ai because their heads got this big. Come on now. And that little old thing just marching around that city. And I'm going to close with this one. And I sort of like this one myself. What about Naaman? Naaman the leper. That little old maid down there told his, said, I know a prophet up there in Israel. Said, he can cure you. And they go to the king, and the king sends word to the king of Syria, sends word to the king of Israel, and said, hey, in Samaria, and said, you got a prophet there that can heal Naaman. He's a captain of my host. Said, I want you to heal him. And all that king of Israel got fighting mad. He said, who am I, God? I can't heal him. But Elisha said, send him up here. And when Naaman came up and come to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even get up to go out to meet him. But he sent out his servant. And the servant said, Elisha, the prophet said, go dip in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And it angered him. He said, I'd have thought at least he'd have come out and smote his breast. I'd have thought he'd at least done something, some incredible act, or give me some incredible time. But all he said was just, go dump my head in the Jordan River. That's just too simple. And he started to leave. He left. And his men finally convinced him to go do it. And guess what happened? On that seventh dip when he came up, his leprosy was gone. So simple. Just being obedient to that simple little thing of dunking himself in that river seven times. And God cleansed him of leprosy. Now, let's close with this. I wonder how many people in here this morning are out by the radio and you've never trusted Christ. And somebody said, well, believing. Believing is just too simple. There's got to be more to it, surely. I've got to speak in tongues, or surely I've got to be baptized in Jesus' name, or surely I've got to do good works, or surely I've got to take the Eucharist, or surely I've got to do something, or something I've got to do. No. Jesus said, here are the works that you're to do, and that's to believe on the Son of God, whom He has sent into the world. That's your works. Oh, that's too simple, Brother Hall. That's why so many souls today are dying and going to hell. It seems so simple just to trust Christ. And that's what believing is. Just to trust Christ. Move that Bible, Jai. It's just like sitting there. I believe that chair will hold me for one reason, because of the way it's built. But I believe it'll hold me, secondly, because there have been a lot. I've seen a lot of people sitting in that chair. So I think I'll try. And guess what? It's holding me too. You know something? I've seen a lot of people trust Christ. And it's still good.
Amen.
It's still good. And I've trusted Christ, and I can testify it's still good.
Amen.
And oh, when He got a hold of my heart, I was asked this morning, do you believe that repentance is the first fruits of salvation? And first I answered no, and then God said, because the Bible said the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But the repentance is the first fruits. I mean, it's the first evidence. Is repentance. But I'm telling you, there's a work done back here in the heart of a man that leads a man to that point, and it's not works, it's God's grace. God, no! Who? God leading that man.
Amen.
Or that woman to repentance. Somebody said, is that hard? No. Simply follow Him. Follow, I will follow Jesus anywhere and everywhere. I will go. I'll follow Him. I think of the Red Sea that we crossed this morning, Brother Joel crossed it. And Israel followed Him across. They made it.
Amen.
The Egyptians followed Pharaoh. And the walls of water came in around them.
Amen.
And I can assure you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, if you follow Jesus, you'll get across the Red Sea. But if you're following Satan, it'll close in around you someday and strangle your life out of you and drag you down into the quarters of death and hell. There'll never be hope again.
Amen.
Never be hope again. Let's stand together.